The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back. Let's talk to Mr. Darren Sinner, market commentator, Admiral Markets, specialised subject today. How can we tell if the ECB QE is working? Morning to you, Darren.
Morning, chaps.
Morning.
How the devil are you, sir?
Yeah, well, now I'm actually here in London. I'm not too bad at all, thank you.
So trains playing up?
Yeah, all sorts of problems, but so we made it in the end.
Well done, you. OK, without further ado, you've kindly sent seven slides in. We better get cracking. Tell me about the first one.
OK, well, this is a bit of a dry subject, but nonetheless, it's something that we ought to pay attention to. So the question, as you said, how can we tell if ECB QE is working? And so we'll have a look in these charts at some of the indicators and factors.
Data points that
will tell us what's going on. So the first one, a look at what's happening in terms of the composite PMI for the euro area, PMI, Purchasing Managers Index, is well regarded as a benchmark of economic activity. What we can see here on this chart is the data from mid-2012 out to the current date. This black line is the trend line, effectively, in for the composite PMI, i.e. the manufacturing and services data combined together. What we can see, unfortunately, is that we're below trend, and we'll need to see that change dramatically. What's quite worrying, perhaps, is the fact that we've dipped off in the recent data points. So we're moving away from an area which would indicate that we are growing quickly. Obviously, we're above 50, so yes, we're still seeing growth in absolute terms.
50 is the key level, isn't it?
Yeah, anything below 50, it turns...
What was the actual date that QE kicked in?
QE started, I believe, at the beginning of March, didn't it? March the 2nd, right. I think. So we're not quite 3 months into it. So it is probably a little bit early, but we need to be on the lookout for these data points, not necessarily now, but, you know, through the balance of 2015 even, and into 2016. So what we'd be looking for is a turnaround in this trend, and ideally a move back above that long-term trend line, which would indicate that the European Union and the Eurozone are growing and growing more quickly than they have been for a number of years. And that would be, you know, a suggestive of the stimulus working and encouraging the economy to work better. So,
okay, so let's... Money supply growth.
This is again a bit dry, but basically we're looking here at M1, which is the most liquid elements of money in the economy. So that's cash and cash equivalents, current accounts, etc. Most economists believe that M1 is a proxy for the success of or potential success of QE. What we've got here, unfortunately, is a rising money supply, which is fantastic, and that, you know, that suggests that money is getting through into the financial system. However, what we're not seeing particularly is such a big pickup in this dotted line here, which represents loans to the private sector in within Europe. And what we want to see is that differential narrow. So whilst we're pleasing to see the money supply running off very quickly, we want to see that money reaching the real economy. And the best way for it to do that is for banks to start lending more to businesses and individuals, and for this line effectively to rise as well, and for that gap to narrow. So look for to see the differential between money supply growth and lending narrow.
Understood. So more money is the whole piece.
Yeah. If we look at taking that last chart into account, if we look at money supply growth in the US since 2010, obviously during the period that the Fed was very active in its own QE program, it's a lovely 45 degree angle left to right, you know, a perfect chart almost of money supply growth. What we saw though was a slightly erratic growth in GDP, and in fact, two dips. One in early 2014 and another more recently. The Fed, of course, has turned off the tap of its own QE program in October last year. So GDP's tailed off subsequent to the Fed stopping its QE actions, even though the money supply has continued to grow. So just having more money in the economy is not necessarily just enough to get the economy going, keep it stimulated. What that suggests to me is that you need to have other factors working in the background and be addressing structural issues as well.
Okay, so let's move on to the next slide.
Okay, so in the past we might have looked at inflation as a tool or an indicator to tell us whether the QE was working, because obviously in an economy that's growing, demand will tend to outstrip supply, and therefore you get rising prices, rising wages, and inflation would be a very good measure of that. Having said that, I don't necessarily think that inflation is going to be the leading indicator that it once was, because we can see both producer prices here and core European inflation are trending down and continue to trend down despite ongoing QE.
Well, I read an article. Guess how many countries in Europe at the moment are in deflation? The answer is 14. 14 countries.
Half, but yeah.
Which is extraordinary.
Yeah, well, there we are. So that you know, suggests that maybe we won't see the results of QE in the inflation numbers until perhaps the recovery, if it comes, is well underway. And all the, not until the surplus has been squeezed out of the system. Rising prices, obviously, is something that we, you know, they're a rare commodity at the moment. And it will be a while yet before I think we see them again. Okay, so European Union GDP growth has historically been closely correlated to Japan's industrial production. And that's, you know, on this chart since 2000. So the reason for looking at this is just to see, we know if really QE isn't working in Japan, but this is an interesting measure, perhaps to see if there's a divergent path, i.e. is the ECB QE program being more successful than the Japanese one. Why I've chosen European Union data here, by the way, is simply this. If QE is going to be a success and get Europe out of the mess it's in, has been for the last 5 years, it needs not only to work in the Eurozone, but to stimulate the wider domestic internal market of the European Union as a whole. So if we look at the correlation here between, the tracking of these two indicators, the black line is European Union GDP growth, and as we can see in recent times, it's starting to diverge away. Japan is running stagnant. There is a pickup across the wider European Union. It might be slight, and we're still, you know, well away from where we'd like to see it. But let's keep an eye on those kind of indicators, because that's probably a good guide to the health of the European Union as a whole. If that domestic market gets going, it's no good just relying on exports. We need to see the European Union and the European single currency area working cohesively, the domestic markets generating demand and making the whole economic engine of Europe work properly.
I wonder whether there's anything coming down the road, because Japanese shares have been on a fair old tear of late, haven't they? So I don't know whether that's anticipating an uptick in that production figure.
Possibly, but the thing I would say about Japan is that their recovery to date, such as it is, has been very much export-led. And the one thing that they probably haven't done sufficiently well is stimulate domestic demand. And we might have seen some signs of that with a sort of recent uptick in consumer spending, but I think it's too early to say. And as you know, I'm very sceptical of the Japanese recovery. I think they're storing up problems for themselves in the future. Okay. Hopefully the EU are not doing the same.
So let's just move to the last slide.
Okay, well, we touched on consumer spending there in Japan, and the truth is that the real, you know, acid test for the recovery will be how consumers in the Eurozone and the EU as a whole feel, how confident they are about spending money, about, you know, making investment decisions. So consumer confidence is picking up. This is the consumer confidence line, the solid black line. It's still in negative territory relative to where it was pre to 2010, but it has been picking up recently. The concern, though, is that pickup will be temporary, because this dotted grey line here, which is unemployment, remains much, much higher than it is in the US, twice as high as it is in the US. And whilst it's declining, it's still well above 11% for Europe as a whole. And that's obviously a very big figure. I've said before, I think that might be structural, but a real acid test for QE being a success is if it can start to make inroads into that 11% unemployment number. And then we can certainly say, yes, it's working. But I think until we see that chivvying away, let's get it below 11%, down to 10% as a starter. If we can see that kind of action, then we can say...
And we've seen the unemployment for the youngsters in Europe is...
Oh, it's astronomical. In some places, it's above 50%. So, you want to see concrete plans to deal with that. It's no good having an economic recovery if you leave, you know, a big chunk of the population behind and they're not involved.
Understood. Okay, we've run out of time. Darren Sinden, market commentator, Admiral Markets, thank you for your thought-provoking stuff. Clearly, the Eurozone is still work in progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, let's take a very quick break. Then I'm going to hand over to Zach Meir. He's going to interview Nicole Elliott, technical analyst and private investor, and also then on to Mike Ingram of Strategy's BGC Partners to talk about Greece. Then we've got Francis Hunt, the market sniper, doing some technical analysis. He's covering some currencies and a couple of stocks. And then finally, we've got Malcolm Graham-Wood interviewing the CEO of Falcon Oil and Gas. We'll be straight back after the break. Thank you.